Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Appeals and Multi-District Litigation Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 21, 2015, the Supreme Court decided Gelbloem v. Bank of America Corporation. This case concerns whether and in what circumstances the dismissal of all claims in one civil action that had been consolidated with other cases for pretrial purposes in a multi-district litigation proceeding is final and immediately appealable. In an opinion delivered by Justice Ginsburg, the court held unanimously that a lower court order dismissing petitioner's case in its entirety removes petitioners from the consolidated multi-district litigation proceeding, thereby triggering their statutory right to appeal. The judgment of the Second Circuit was reversed and the case remanded. To discuss the case, we have Eric Zimmerman, who is an Olin Searle Smith Fellow and Constitutional Law Center Fellow at Stanford Law School. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Zimmerman.
The Supreme Court recently released its decision in Gelbloem against Bank of America. Justice Ginsburg wrote the opinion, and the decision was unanimous. The court held that when multiple cases have been consolidated for pretrial proceedings, and the district court then dismisses one of those consolidated cases, the plaintiffs in the dismissed case can file an immediate appeal in the Court of Appeals. The plaintiffs in the dismissed case are not, the court held, required to wait for further proceedings in the other consolidated cases before they can appeal. Just by way of background, the plaintiffs in the Gelbloem case sued several banks, and they alleged that the banks had manipulated what's called the London Interbank Offered Rate, or LIBOR, which is a common term used in financial instruments. And the Gelbloem plaintiffs raised a single legal theory, which is that the bank's manipulation of LIBOR violated federal antitrust law. The Gelbloem plaintiff's case was then consolidated with numerous other cases that had been filed around the country and which were then transferred and consolidated before a single district court under the multi-district litigation statute, 28 U.S.C. section 1407. That statute allows cases to be transferred before a single court and then consolidated for pretrial purposes when they raise similar factual allegations. The idea being that when you have all these cases filed around the country and they raise similar allegations, a single court should be able to manage the pretrial process, including discovery, and avoid duplicative proceedings in different courts. And then the idea is that at the end of the pretrial proceedings, any remaining cases are transferred back to the court where they originated for trial. So here, the Gelbloem case was consolidated with other cases that involved similar allegations that the banks had manipulated LIBOR. Unlike the Gelbloem plaintiffs, though, the plaintiffs in the other cases raised additional legal theories. They didn't rely just on federal antitrust law. After the cases were consolidated, the district court dismissed the federal antitrust claim that the Gelbloem plaintiffs had raised, but it allowed some of the other legal claims brought by the other plaintiffs to go forward. So the effect was the Gelbloem plaintiff's case was dismissed from the consolidated proceedings, but some of the other cases that had been transferred and consolidated were still moving forward on different legal grounds. At that point, the Gelbloem plaintiffs filed an immediate appeal in the Second Circuit and tried to reverse the district court's ruling on federal antitrust law. The Second Circuit, however, dismissed the suit for lack of appellate jurisdiction. It held that there hadn't yet been a final decision that could be appealed because the consolidated multi-district proceedings were still ongoing in the district court. In its decision issued last week, the Supreme Court reversed that ruling of the Second Circuit and held that the Gelbloem plaintiffs were entitled to an immediate appeal of the district court decision dismissing their case. The court relied primarily on the language of the relevant statutes and also on its previous interpretations of those statutes. So the key statute here is 28 U.S.C. section 1291, which is the general statute governing appellate jurisdiction. And that statute provides that final decisions of the district courts can be appealed. Here, the Supreme Court explained that when the district court dismissed the Gelbloem plaintiff's federal antitrust claim, That would normally be considered a final decision for purposes of the statute because the district court had totally ended the Gelboim plaintiff's case and dismissed their complaint. And the court concluded that nothing about the consolidation of the cases here changed that conclusion that the district court had issued a final decision with respect to the Gelboim plaintiffs. The court looked at the language of the multi-district litigation statute, section 1407, and it said the statute made clear that even when cases are transferred and consolidated for pretrial purposes, the cases still retain their separate identities as separate actions. They're not merged into a single action that moves together and moves along the same track for all purposes. So that meant the Gelboim plaintiff's case here remained a discrete action, and when the district court dismissed that action, it was a final decision for the Gelboim plaintiffs that they could then appeal to the Second Circuit. The court also considered and rejected the argument by the defendants, the banks, that the plaintiffs here couldn't file an appeal until all of the pretrial proceedings before the district court had concluded and the cases were being sent back to their original courts for further proceedings. The court held that that argument by the banks couldn't be squared with the statutes and rules governing the timing of appeals from district court decisions. So the court explained that parties are required to appeal within 30 days of the judgment against them. But here, if the banks were right and the plaintiffs were required to wait until all of the pretrial proceedings were over before they could appeal, they might not be able to satisfy the 30-day requirement for filing an appeal because 30 days might have passed since the judgment against them was entered. And there's usually no judgment entered at the end of the pretrial proceedings. What happens is the district court will enter there will be sort of an administrative order entered that ends the pretrial proceedings and ends the consolidation, but that's not a judgment that the plaintiffs could then appeal from. So the court said it would be the plaintiffs in that situation would be left in a quandary because they would have nothing to appeal from that would satisfy the statutes at the end of the pretrial proceedings. So the court concluded that means the plaintiffs must be able to file an immediate appeal once the judgment against them was entered. The court also discussed the application of Rule 54B of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. That rule allows a district court in its discretion to enter a partial final judgment for particular claims or particular parties within an action. The court explained that a district court could use Rule 54B to help ensure that all plaintiffs who are raising a similar or raising a particular claim in a multi-district proceeding can appeal at the same time. So for example, here the district court could have used Rule 54B to allow all the plaintiffs raising federal antitrust claims to file an appeal simultaneously rather than just sending up the Gelboim plaintiffs for an appeal on their own. But the court held the Gelboim plaintiffs weren't required to rely on the district court's discretion under Rule 54B to get their appeal since their only claim had been dismissed. Instead, they were entitled to an immediate appeal as of right under Section 1291. So that's what the court held. Looking forward, I think the court's decision leaves open a couple of interesting questions. First, the court very carefully limited its decision in Gelboim to cases that have been consolidated only for pretrial purposes. So in a couple of footnotes, Justice Ginsburg emphasized that the opinion wasn't addressing a situation in which cases are consolidated for all purposes, and when you might then view the cases as having been effectively merged into a single action. So it's possible the court could reach a different conclusion in that circumstance and conclude that you don't get an immediate appeal when you're dismissed from proceedings that have been consolidated in their entirety. And in fact, that seems to be the prevailing approach in the lower courts. You're not entitled to this immediate appeal when there's been a total consolidation. So the court was essentially making clear that it wasn't calling into question that existing rule. But it's possible that rule could be challenged going forward based on the reasoning in the Gelboim decision. So it'll be interesting to see if this issue comes back to the Supreme Court in a few years and the court is required to address the timing of appeals for cases that are merged for all purposes rather than just pretrial purposes. And the other interesting implication of the court's decision is, I think it'll be interesting to see how this decision is implemented on the ground by district courts that are managing multi-district cases. There was a lot of debate in the briefing and in the oral argument of this case about the practical consequences of ruling for the plaintiffs and allowing an immediate appeal. The defendant banks argued that this would cause huge practical problems. They said, you know, the purpose of the multi-district litigation statute is to allow the district court to exercise close control over the proceedings and maintain an orderly process. And they said that would be totally undermined if plaintiffs could run up to the Court of Appeals whenever their cases are dismissed, and then you'd have all these proceedings going forward on two tracks. Some cases, some parts of the proceedings would be in the Court of Appeals, some would be for the district court, and it would sort of kind of blow up the system of an orderly process. The plaintiffs argued that that wasn't true because district courts could still use other mechanisms for controlling the process and preventing piecemeal appeals. They said district courts could stay parts of the proceedings rather than entering a judgment or kind of manipulate the timing of entering judgments to avoid piecemeal appeals. Interestingly to me, the court's opinion didn't really take on these kind of practical concerns in much depth. The opinion dropped one footnote suggesting that district courts can use what's called a master complaint to help achieve efficient administration in consolidated cases. And the opinion also noted that district courts could defer a ruling on a motion to dismiss if they think that further proceedings might be relevant to a ruling on the motion. But the opinion didn't really go into any depth on how district courts can avoid the practical problems that would result from piecemeal appeal that had been raised by the defendants. So going forward, I think it'll be interesting to see how district courts respond to the court's decision and how they address the practical problems that could come up. And I think we'll just have to see whether the district courts are able to be creative in coming up with other mechanisms for managing these types of complex proceedings and controlling the timing of when appeals become available so that they can keep these cases moving forward in an orderly manner.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.